Hey, this is Ryan Baca of Wake Up Lucid. Here it is. It is what it is. And this is a Wisco Weekly Podcast.
Hey, yo. This is the Wisco Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Dennis Wisco, alongside Kelly Cruz.
How's it going, Wisco?
I'm good.
Are you feeling a year younger?
Oh, really? We're going there.
Going right there.
Yes, I feel a year younger. I damn sure look 10 years younger.
Absolutely. For all those listeners out there, it was our very own Wisco's birthday last week. So had a little birthday celebration this last weekend.
Oh, and I'm feeling it today.
Yeah. A few days later,
which is odd because it's not like I celebrated too hard, but I was active for more than 14 hours in a day, which is really uncalled for.
Maybe in your golden years, you could have taken it like a champ.
Yeah, I need to go see my doctor or something now. Anyhow, so Kelly, episode number 4.
Yes.
What do you know about credit scores?
Well, I've had some experience with them. I've been faced with...
How's your credit score?
It's pretty good.
Yeah?
Just saying.
Like above 500?
Keep going.
700?
Keep going.
800?
Yep.
Yeah, you're one of the few. I mean, this was the same case where I was telling you earlier how I used Credit Karma. Mm-hmm. To run my credit, soft credit run, and I pulled like somewhere in the mid to high 700s, and then all of a sudden I went to the dealership to get a car, and I pulled 800, which I don't understand how that works just yet. I thought I understood it, at least when I told customers about it, but it's still very hard to explain.
Meaning the difference between a soft run and then the run at the dealer, or the fact that it actually came out higher at the dealership?
Well, the latter hardly ever happens. I mean, certainly I've encountered many times where when I run a customer's credit and they would tell me and they would give me a handout that shows that when they did a soft credit run that, oh, they were 700 and all of a sudden we did a hard pull and mm-hmm. all of a sudden they were like 650, which changed the dynamics of their financing entirely. But it was hard to explain that. I've had the chance to look it up, and one of the things they attribute the difference is just the fact that on a hard pull, it incorporates the amount of inquiries that you did on your credit or a lender has done on your credit. So if you've had maybe 3 hard pulls, 6 hard pulls in this last 3 months, 6 months, and then when you do end up pulling your hard credit and it comes out lower, it can be attributed to the inquiries.
Got it. Is there some time frame after which they kind of, I'm going to say reset, but like if you've had 3 inquiries in 6 months, is that bad? But if you get a year out and you've had no inquiries, you know, does it kind of reset and you wouldn't get dinged as much?
So there's something where if you, specifically for auto loans, where if you get 3 hard pulls or, you know, 2, 3, 4, just somewhere modest.
And is hard pulls essentially that someone other than you is checking your credit?
Yeah, I mean, this is where either the dealership or the lender themselves, mm-hmm. If you go, let's say, a credit union or let's say you just call Bank of America, Wells Fargo over the phone and you want to get approved for an auto loan or if you apply for a credit card and you put in all of your information, that generates a hard pull mm-hmm. on your credit report. So those are the things that dealerships, let's say, for instance, specifically go by when they submit your credit information to a lender so that they can get you approved for financing. Although there's still many things along the way, especially if your credit is not as good as yours, mm-hmm. Where there's things like proof of income, proof of residence, and all stuff that sometimes is not, it's not easy to understand and interpret how these credit bureaus and how these lenders work and how they approve money for, you know, to get you approved for a loan.
I don't know if I'm jumping ahead here, but how far can it get you if you walk into a dealership with a printed out report that you pulled off a website, or if you tell them that you have a certain credit score, as I would do, because I want to negotiate before they actually run my credit.
Yeah, that's right. Because you do your homework. You come prepared. Yep. Woman.
And so if they say, okay, you have a printout, or I'm going to take your word for it, here's your credit score, let's negotiate some deal, but then they go run it and it's much lower, presumably the deal is not going to be the same?
Well, this is certainly a tactic. It is certainly a tactic for a dealership after they run your credit, especially if you came in and you know what your credit score is, presumably off of a soft pull, where when you do come in and you get a hard pull on your credit and it comes back lower, then it was like everything that was either told to you via email, via phone, there's always an asterisk of pending credit approval. And so then all of a sudden, if you have a payment of, let's say, whatever, $500 over 5 years and it's 2.9%, you know, they're quoting you that over email. Obviously, you have the impression that, okay, by the time I show up, this is, as long as my credit comes back at tier A, as they call it, then I'm good to go with my car. Everything that the salesperson emailed me will hold true. Mm-hmm. But then, yes, one of the things that can happen is if all of a sudden your credit score comes back a little bit lower, things will change. And quite honestly, sometimes it doesn't have to, but and when I say doesn't have to, it's like somebody pulls a 699. Well, there's still exceptions on how a buyer can still qualify for tier A. But I think what is probably more interesting to me in talking to Equifax and Craig Sims was how Craig Sims seems to almost be the hero behind the scenes of financial responsibility in this entire, you know, trillion-dollar world of auto loans in the United States. And I just made some very outrageous claims right there. And so apparently you're going to have to listen more to know why I'm saying all these things. So let's get into the show.
Credit data like we have at Equifax has long been used to help people find their way into a vehicle, right? Most folks are not ready to pay cash for a car. You got to get a loan. And dealers and lenders have for years come to us for credit data to help them make smart credit decisions. Craig Sims with Equifax, Vice President of Sales for Automotive Vertical Services. I spent close to 10 years with one of the largest auto lenders in the country. It's one of the national banks, top five auto lender in the country.
So that's Craig Sims, who is the Vice President of Automotive Services at Equifax. And as he mentioned, he spent a good majority of his time working at a top five automotive lending institution, that being Capital One. Also, he's a graduate of the University of Texas, Hook'em Horns. And, you know, according to his LinkedIn, he was also part of the Society of Automotive Engineers. He kind of sounds like a little bit of an engineer, doesn't he?
Yeah, you know, a little like geeky, but in a good geeky way.
In a good geeky way. He also has a master's from Southern Methodist University and the Cox School of Business, which I'm sure Cox Automotive loves him for that. Anyhow, so Craig has a very humble and honest, I call him Honest Craig. I feel like this is kind of like one of those political references, but Honest Craig, where the things that he talks about it's a very simple approach. It's a very responsible approach to how dealers should be providing their experience of approving loans for customers, and on the other side of it, customers being a little bit more informed about how they can go into a dealership and get approved for a loan, and being able to streamline that experience. I was introduced to Craig by their director of marketing, or the vice president of marketing, Rebecca Kritzman, in which, when I was sitting down in that lounge area and I was doing another recording with a gentleman who we'll hear from later on, Jeff Wall. So as we did a recording, Rebecca was sitting at the table as well. And when I finished up the recording, Rebecca commended us and gave us an applause and said that, you know, she introduced herself and she said, we'd like to be on your show as well. And then she called over Craig. And so that's how I met Craig. I mean, I didn't schedule this interview at all. So then when I had the chance to sit down with Craig, I found him just, be it his finance background, be it the fact that I don't want to overanalyze this, but like the fact that he was involved in the Society of Automotive Engineers, and obviously he listed it on his LinkedIn, so there's something that he's proud of there.
Right.
It's very sobering to hear what he is trying to do and effectuate the change in the automotive industry. And so hopefully you, as a habitual leaser and a prospective buyer, you can take comfort and solace knowing the fact that as you continue to go on your ways and as you talk to your circle of friends and network, that there is more of a comfort and confidence in the whole transaction of buying a car, that you, if you're able to access information from Equifax, that you're able to make a soft run of your credit score and know offhand before you visit a dealership that your credit score is good, so you shouldn't be jacked around by the dealership. And you know, then by the time you sign documents and you take delivery of the car, there's hopefully this very frictionless, very smooth process that Equifax and Craig Sims was able to be instrumental in helping you towards owning and driving your car.
Some of the other episodes we've talked about kind of dealerships collecting data ahead of time. Is that something where they're integrating things they're collecting on individuals and kind of using that before they even get to the point of checking or running credit?
So he had mentioned to me that, for instance, Subaru is a manufacturer that Equifax partners with, and integrated into the Subaru site, if I am a prospective buyer, that I could go onto their website, I can fill out some minimal information, and then I can learn what my credit score is. And so therefore, I can use that information to then bring that to a dealership. They're looking to expand that at the local level to dealerships where they're kind of mirroring that same experience. But the whole idea is that the customer has an idea of their credit score even before they go into the store, which I know that, you know, for instance, you and I would probably take this for granted, right? Just because, as we admitted earlier, in which we are very proud of, right? We do have great credit scores. So for people like us, we may take it for granted. We may not even look at those things, but I think it's still very important. And also it can help streamline the transaction or the process of buying a car.
Yeah, it's almost a little scary that you can find out your credit score so easily, or that some of these websites have tools that you can plug in some information and it seems innocuous, but you're giving enough personal data for them to pull it.
Well, and as he talks about too, one of the products they have is that just by virtue of, they can tie in with your cell phone carrier, and basically with the last four digits of your social, as well as your zip code, and then in partnership with the cell phone carriers, they can therefore verify your identity. So all of this, at the end of the day, as the way I see it through Craig's eyes, which I like his eyes, they're very pretty. It's a very financially responsible way of customers buying cars, as well as dealers being able to provide an experience for customers when everybody's on the same page, when most of customers who buy cars are having to finance. So when everybody's on the same page and it's a bit more transparent, then of course it's going to lend to a better experience for all.
Right.
I think the other thing too is that because Craig, Honest Craig, has a particular philosophy of how he sees what the buying experience should be, it was rooted in his own experience.
We had agreed on the pricing, we had agreed on, you know, financing, and I knew I was qualified and all of that good stuff. And in theory, all we have to do is, you know, the car is here now, all we got to do is go pick it up. And we were still in the store for 2.5 hours. People might think it's all the millennials and they just want to, you know, buy in their car and have Amazon deliver or whatever. But really, folks, you know, we're all busy professionals. We don't have time to go sit in the store for 4 hours. So if I can do some of that work ahead of time before I get to the store, it makes my life easier.
So that's the exact experience that motivates Craig to do what he does and to do the good work of promoting Equifax to dealerships, where dealerships can be better informed of their customer. The customer can be better informed of their own, you know, credit score, so that they can go in with a little bit more of a educated mindset and going to the dealership.
I can certainly appreciate where he's coming from and his story. I think you've heard before on this podcast, you know, possibly similar stories. It was very early on in my podcasting career, if we can call it that.
Your long and distinguished career.
Right, of the last few months. But this experience of you think it's all done and it takes forever. And so I would say that the intention to speed up the process presumes that what's making the process take so long is the credit piece. And I don't know. I haven't been behind the scenes. But
well, here's
just how, I mean, we can run our credit pretty quickly. I would think the dealership could do the same thing. So why would the credit process itself take so long?
So, you know, so a couple background information before we get to that. So in the United States, there's 107 million Americans that have an auto loan out. This is according to the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, which represents about 43% of the adult population. So 107 million.
43%?
Yeah, 43% of the adult population, or 107 million Americans, have an auto loan. 6 million people, approximately, are 90 days late. There's approximately about $1 trillion in auto loans out there. In 2017, in quarter four of 2017, there was $137 billion in loan origination. I think when I was working out this math, it ended up being that the average loan amount was approximately $23,000. So because most car buyers, be it new or used, are not paying in cash in their financing, then there is a good portion of the process that because you have the dealership who's working in cahoots with the lender who is trying to then approve this loan for the buyer, that is a bit of an orchestration where in a manual situation, you would have a customer who would have to provide a proof of income and a proof of residence. Mm-hmm. So this being utility bill for a proof of residence or a paycheck stub or even bank statements. I always found it actually pretty intrusive when I had to ask for bank statements of a particular individual. This actually happened a lot with expats and or just, you know, immigrant buyers or, you know, people who had a green card over here and they had a job, maybe they purchased a franchise out here, and so they were getting paid through the company, and so they needed a proof of income. And the only proof of income they had was I would have to get their bank statements, even sometimes their investments. I mean, again, it was very personal.
Is this essentially when, because I don't think I've ever been asked for that information, but usually you fill out the credit application, and you're including kind of accounts, general account information, generally what your income is. And is it that as long as they can verify that through the credit process that they, you know, take comfort in the fact that you've given the correct information? Or
yeah, because, you know, it's this audit of you, Kelly, are you actually stating your income to be true? Are you, you know, you, especially when you don't have employment, with the same company that is at least 2 years kind of thing,
right?
Then of course there's always going to be this checks and balances, and this is where Equifax would come in to say, hey, okay, Kelly, you've stated that you're working for your company for a year and 6 months and you're stating $100,000 a year in income. Well, I'd like to take your word for it. You seem like you're a good person, but it would really help if I actually had some verifiable proof. And that's where you have a company like Equifax And then even some of the other credit bureaus come in to help double check that.
So I got stuck a while back when you had a comment about, you know, you could take your word for it. It reminded me of a certain quote from Tommy Boy that I can't quite come up with at the moment, but.
Yeah, so you're talking about when Tommy, or even coming from his father, says something to the effect of course you can get a look of a T-bone by sticking your head up a bull's ass, but I'd rather take a butcher's word for it.
Exactly.
Well, so Equifax is the butcher.
That's right. Take their word for it.
Everybody, the dealer, the OEM, the manufacturer, everybody is focused on the consumer and trying to make that process better for them. And I think as long as we keep our focus there, we'll end up with the, you know, things like InstaTouch that make the process smoother and easier for everyone, that make the process more secure, that make sure we're putting people in vehicles they can afford at loan terms that are reasonable. Because that's really that's where the win is, right? Is making it easier and faster for people to get into vehicles that they can afford to pay for and can enjoy.
Deliver vehicles fast. That was something I found on the Equifax website, and I thought it was, you know, it's kind of catchy. And if that was, I don't even think they used it as a tagline. I think it was the heading of some article.
It sounds like a tagline. Definitely something to aspire to.
Right.
But I think, you know, when he talks about this whole how customers can get into an affordable car, again, there's trillions of dollars out there in auto loans right now. And certainly there's going to come a point where the economy may not be doing as well as it is. And all of a sudden, where people have a bit extended themselves, right? I think you actually had alluded to this at another previous episode where you initially signed up for a $500 loan payment where 3-4 years later, finances have changed. And so, of course, you can afford $500, but you would like to save a little bit of money and get down to a little bit of a lower payment. So there comes this point with the customer where, you know, part of the whole buying process and experience is getting into a car that is, you know, it's a car that is as valuable as possible to you. It's the most car for as less money. And this is the whole idea of if the entire automotive setup from customer to dealer to lender was done in a financially responsible manner where the customer is able to afford a payment, the lender is still making money off the interest, and the dealer is able to sell a car, then everybody is going to be happy along the way. All planets are aligned.
I was going to say something similar. As you were talking, we were reading each other's minds there, but it's like everyone's aligned for a common goal. So I think this is one of those situations where, while of course the dealer wants to make more money or the buyer wants to get a little, you know, lower price, that the common goal is to get into a car that you can afford. Obviously, we all have, you know, things that we want to achieve. I would love to be in a, you know, nicer car. But ultimately, you don't want to default on your loan. The dealership and the lender don't want you to default on your loan. And they're more encouraged to, you know, get you into a car that you're happy with rather than having someone who buys a car and then, you know, they're bitter at looking back at they never should have gotten into the car. So
I don't want to say be a system of checks and balances, but, you know, kind of be that that older brother, that bigger brother that says, hey, you know, perhaps this car at a $500 payment is not as ideal for the long run, perhaps $450 now. And again, maybe this is also great business for the salesperson at a dealership, because if that salesperson is there long enough, then 3-4 years from now, they can put that same customer in a better car because now their financial situation has changed.
Do they have the income they need to afford that $40,000 car or whatever it is they want to buy? And so, you know, being able to bring in different data points like income and employment to assist with the verification of all this information, right, to make sure that, again, that we have the good picture of the consumer, that's what dealers need.
I could tell you, Kel, that one of the things that I was very cognizant of when I would sell cars to customers was when I would go through a credit app and I would hand fill out a credit app on behalf of my customer. Because when it did come time to, let's say, stating, Mr. Customer, what is your gross monthly income? How much do you pay on mortgage or rent? I didn't just regurgitate or restate exactly what they told me. So for instance, a lot of times what would happen is, let's say in the case of somebody renting, their total monthly rent might be $2,000 a month. And their income might be $5,000 a month, right? But when you kind of drill down a little bit more, because with $5,000 as gross, and especially mm-hmm. when you have taxes taken out, and then all of a sudden you are also showing a a monthly rental expense of $2,000, a lending institution might look at that and be like, whoa, I mean, more than half of your money is going towards your rent. Of course, yes, you could probably afford a $500 car payment, but you still have groceries, you still have all these other things. So then I would always ask the customer, the $2,000 in rent, is that your share of the rent or is that the total rent? Hmm. In which then they would say that, no, that's the total rent. My share is only $500. Well, now as a lender, you may now have a better picture of that customer because now their monthly expense is no longer $2,000. It's only $500.
How does that information get relayed, though, in a way that helps guide the deal? So meaning, I think it's really helpful for you to have that information and to have the knowledge to ask that information. But how would that go into when you actually do the hard pull and run the credit? How does the Equifax know that it's only a certain portion, or then do you actually just change how the information appears on the credit application?
So this is kind of the thoroughness of the salesperson of the dealership, the sales manager, the salesperson qualifying what is stated. But
there's that many competent dealers. And I don't mean to be rude. I'm just saying that's pretty intense. Like, would you say that most...
That's rude.
Well, would you say that most dealerships put their salespeople through a training process that includes this? Because again, I would be shocked to know that most salespeople at a dealership would actually ask that information. And it's one thing if they provide a training program, another whether they actually use it. But if they don't provide the training, most people are not going to go to that next level.
Yeah, this is there's lines of defenses. Where the initial salesperson that you may be talking to probably doesn't ask that question, qualify that, but by the time that gets to a desk manager, they're usually keen enough to look at that and be like, before I submit this over, hey, salesperson, go double check to make sure that their rent is actually $2,000 or do they have a smaller portion of that relative, and again, they're looking at that relative to their monthly income.
Got it.
It's not huge, but it's becoming material. And what you're finding in the business is rates are so low right now, and cars have gotten so expensive. If you can, if they'll give you 7 years for 2.9%, that's actually pretty cheap money, and that keeps your payment in a much more comfortable spot than trying to pay for that same car over 5 years.
So again, just this kind of comes back to the whole where the automotive industry has been moving, in that 43% of the adult population has an auto loan, and that of all the people that have an auto loan, another 42% of those people, at least from 2017, have a payback term of 6 years or more.
So I'm assuming this would have to be in the case of buying the car, not leasing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't do a lease term of that long, and obviously you're financing a half of the car versus the whole purchase price.
Right. You could get a six-year loan on a brand new car that would rival a payment of a lease. But then comes the whole idea of financial responsibility of, is that six-year loan, that seven-year loan, the best thing for you? I hate to play the moral high ground here, but I don't want anyone to be in a situation where they've overextended themselves. And I think that we've been going, you know, there's lots of people that have been doing that because the economy is good, because, you know, they're at a job that they make good money, but they may be a bit naive to think that they have stability at that job. And all of a sudden, again, they're overextending themselves. And if easily they could be more financially responsible if they can take a look at their credit, if the dealership has information that is readily available to them, that they can quickly assess the likelihood of that person buying a car, then hopefully everybody's on the same page. And again, at the end of the day, it's all about the customer, that they get in a car that they can afford and they can enjoy for a long period of time.
There's just so many touch points in the system that it's really hard, you know, because you got to go one dealership at a time and one lender at a time, and everybody's systems are slightly different, and it's just it's a big problem to solve.
Well, Kelly, I hope you had the chance to get to know Honest Craig a little bit more, and to know the good work that he's doing on your behalf. You know, obviously you're a habitual leaser, and so he's fighting the good fight, trying to get in there with dealerships to have dealerships adopt some of Equifax's products and services for the betterment of the customer experience. And as he had mentioned, this is a really big problem to solve, not just in the manner of selling cars, but again, what I would kind of define as responsible lending in the entire, you know, circulation of loans, the $1 trillion of loans that are being circulated out there, that there has to be some kind of stability and responsibility. And there's somebody like Craig who's trying to promote that. So thank you, Craig, for doing that. Listeners, you can take, or you can hear the unedited interview I did with Craig on YouTube. So if you get the chance, please visit our YouTube channel. Also, I would encourage you to check out episode number 7 of season 1, which was entitled Consumer Credit Applications, if you want to pick up some additional tips on how to fill out a credit application. Of course, if there's any comments or reviews that you have on this episode, please share them with us. And if you have any critiques, we always love that too. So don't be shy. Well, all right. That is another episode of the WSCO Weekly Podcast. Check us out next week. And closing us out yet again is Wake Up Lucid with their song Feel It. And as always, cheers, pros lahaim, kipish nastravi, salud, kampai to the customer experience.